Our scripture lesson for this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then chapter 2, verses 5 through 12, found on page 203 of your your pew Bibles, if you'd like to look that up. We will be looking at the book of Hebrews during the month of October, both in worship and in the Pastor's Academy, and in other places where I'm teaching. We will focus on this book that so many people don't know about. I'm going to just begin with a quick survey. Don't raise your hand, just answer in your head. Is the book of Hebrews found in the Old Testament or the New Testament? It's the New Testament. But the word Hebrews lends sometimes people to think it's the Old Testament. It's a fascinating book. It has been described as probably the least read book in the New Testament. It contains some fascinating ideas. One, the duality of the Christology, which simply means Jesus is presented as Savior, but also High Priest. And that concept is fascinating. There are things about who wrote it, to whom it was written, when it was written, that are debated by Christian scholars. There are many unknowns about the book of Hebrews, and yet it has some truths that are fascinating, and overall, it does this. It approaches the person who feels like life has gotten too heavy for them. The opposition, the problems are just too much, and it reminds us of who Jesus is, and in resting on Christ, we can face those things. And for those who feel like giving up, it's a book that looks us in the eye and says, no, this is God's world, God's in control, and we will face what we need to face. Hear now these introductory verses from the book of Hebrews. Oh, and by the way, you do have a homework assignment. That is to read the entire book of Hebrews, the letter, the epistles. It's not long, but you have a month to do it. So read Hebrews, and we will study this together. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name has obtained, at the name he obtained is more excellent than theirs. And now jumping to 2nd chapter, verse 5. For it was not the angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou careth for him? Thou did make for him a little while he was lower than the angels. Thou hast cast him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. As it was, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see Jesus, who was for a little while made lower than the angels, crowning with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneers of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sacrifices and those who are sanctified have all one origin. This is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise thee. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we again invite your Spirit to be with us, that you might speak to us as your church. We acknowledge Christ as the head of the church worldwide. We ask that you be with us this morning, that as we worship, that you would minister to us, that you would come against any thoughts that would keep us away from thinking about you, that you would keep us from being distracted. Let us simply be in your presence, seeking your presence, seeking your word for us individually, and igniting us into service as your church collectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is World Communion Sunday. So on this day, I want us to, in our minds, leave this place and connect with Christians all over the world. As many of you know, my brother's daughter, my niece Justine, has moved in with us. And Justine is not here today because Justine's an interesting person. She graduated from Grand Canyon University and since then has been traveling the world. She's been, my daughters tell me, to over 30 countries where she has either traveled or lived and many times taught English in those various countries. She has a job in Scottsdale where, of course, it's at an international school where they teach the children in French and in Spanish, and all the kids know English as well. So this week is her spring break, so she's not here, so I feel more free to talk about her. Fall break, thank you. I've been corrected already. Fall break, she and a friend are traveling to Florida. They want to go to the Epcot Center. Because as you know, the Epcot Center, they have foods from around the world. This week they have something extra. They're setting up extra booths and extra things where they will have foods from many, many more countries. And Justine likes food. And she likes food from around the world. And so she is there experiencing that. She's added so much to our understanding of foods with the things that she likes to eat. But Justine, in the same way that Justine has opened our minds to experiences of living around the world and foods from around the world, I want us all this day to think about cultures and peoples around the world, knowing that all around the world on this day, people are taking communion. Christians all over the world are unifying. It's an act of solidarity. Under the lordship of Christ, Christians everywhere are receiving communion. And with time differences, I shared last night at the Sabbath service that even as we were taking communion, there were people taking communion. Same thing for this morning. People will be unified in Christ. So picture this. Those of you who have traveled to other countries and have seen other churches, little and small, consider the various styles of communion. I know that for me as a seminary student, we traveled to Washington, D.C., a group of us, and visited the National Cathedral. That was the highest church experience I ever had, with incense and candles and processions and communion. But I've also been in Africa at Africa University taking communion with African students in their chapel. And I've been in Mexico where church was simply a cement slab with walls, with four walls, no roof, just four walls. And in that place, we took communion. Communion can be by your bedside with a pastor or Stephen minister bringing communion. Communion can be in a great big church. It can be in a little tiny church. The thing I want to point out today is when we receive communion, it's because Jesus instructed us to do that. He said to his disciples to do this and to do this often in remembrance of him. So we can remember the life, the death, the resurrection, the forgiveness of our sins, the journey of faith, that all are because of the life of Jesus Christ. And with our understanding of Jesus as the head of the church, that's not bound by borders nor cultures. It's a worldwide presence of Christ with us all. So I want us to focus on that. Our scripture lesson today points out something interesting, and it talks about Jesus as being above or below the angels, and it begins with a very clear point that Jesus, as the Son of God, words like majesty are used, and the right hand of God the Father Almighty, Jesus as majestic Lord. In Hebrews, we see Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as High Priest. But this scripture says that there was a moment where Jesus was no longer above the angels, but dropped down to a place of being below the angels. And what this is saying to us is that Jesus walked on this earth as we walk on this earth. Jesus had the awareness of life on this earth, as he was one who was battered and bruised. He was one that was insulted. He was one that was rejected. He was the one that experienced the heights and depths of all of human emotion, leading to a beating and a death on the cross for us. Jesus understands whatever it is you're going through. Jesus understands whatever conflict you have. Jesus understands whatever issues are in your life. And on this day of worldwide communion, Jesus is present for all of us. He was less than the angels so that he could experience this life that we experience. And then after his resurrection, he was back to his place of glory, where he advocates for us, where the Spirit of God helps us. So there isn't a thing that we go through, not one thing that we go through, that God doesn't feel, because Jesus experienced that. On this World Communion Sunday, I want to share with you a story about a little girl and the experience of the world. The story is this. Marquita Andrews was an 8-year-old little girl living in New York when her father left her mother and herself. So here she was, an 8-year-old girl. Mother was a waitress in a restaurant, had to work long hours to make ends meet. And this was tough for Marquita. And in the adapting and adjustment that any single parent family has to make, there was this conversation between mother and daughter, where mom said, "I know it's hard and I'm working long hours, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to work real hard and I'm going to save money so that someday you can go to college. And when you go to college and you start earning money, then we can afford for you and I to take a trip around the world." So mom and daughter made this agreement. Well, Marquita, by the time she turned 13, was in the Girl Scouts. And she read in a Girl Scout magazine that the girl worldwide who sold the most cookies would win a trip for two. You know where this is going. Would win a trip for two around the world. Marquita determined that she was that girl. And she was going to bring about the timeline a lot closer and win this trip. So Marquita sat down with her aunt, who was a businesswoman, and Marquita came up with a plan. She would wear her uniform every time she'd go out. Her aunt coached her to smile, to be upbeat, even if she received a rejection, to smile, to say thank you, to go out and not sell cookies, but to sell the opportunity to invest in a dream. Aunt Marquita and her mom lived in a big apartment tenement in New York City, so there were a lot of doors to knock on. Every day after school, between 3:30 and I think it was 5:30, no, 2 hours anyway, I got the time. She'd go out 2 hours every evening, and she would do this. She'd knock on the door. She'd be in her uniform. She was a painfully shy little girl, but she had a plan, and she said this, knock, 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 hello, would you like to invest? Oh, I'm Marquita Andrews. Would you like to invest in a dream that I have to win a trip for my mother and I to go around the world? And I'm trying to achieve that by merchandising cookies. You can join me in this investment if you will buy a dozen or two boxes of cookies or a case. Marquita sold 3,500 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. She won the contest, and she went around the world with her mother. But this is what she teaches all of us in her story. And we'll hear a little bit more about Marquita during this month, even as we hear about Hebrews, because there's a lot more to this story. But she shared this. She shared to invest in yourself. She learned as a little girl that we sell ourselves short. We sell ourselves short before anyone else sells us short when we say, I can't do it. I'm too shy to invite somebody to church. I'm too shy to go meet that neighbor. I'm just not good at it. Well, this painfully shy little girl taught us about believing and investing in ourselves. I think we can approach the work of our church that way. This has been a particularly difficult week in the life of this church, with hospitalizations and doctors and so forth. It's been a difficult week. But I want to share with you this about every single person that we visited this week in the hospital. I heard every single time, I don't know how people get through this life without God. I don't know how people face the things we face without God. And I don't know how people face the things they face without a loving church family. I heard that one. I heard both of those every single time. How do people get through life without God? How do people get through life without a loving and supportive church family? We invest our hearts in God. We invest our time. We invest our service in the work of the church. And we reach out to other people in the name of Jesus Christ because God is real and God is with us. My daughter Hannah was in a car accident this week, and I'm not telling you anything that most of you don't already know, but she's sitting here today. And the car, if you look at pictures of it, you wonder how she walked away. God never promised us that there wouldn't be accidents. The Bible says that life wouldn't be tough. There are no guarantees that we won't face difficult times. But what we do know is this: God promises to be with us. God promises to help us. God, our source of, for our family, we know by looking at the truck that God is real. And we know by the stories of our church people, we are sustained by our families, we are sustained by our church family. And I have been in a lot of churches, and this church, more than any other, I hear about the church as being a family. And people reach out and take care of each other in this congregation. Sometimes we are the recipients, sometimes we are the givers. But this congregation is a microcosm of the bigger church. It's an example of what life is like when we give our hearts and souls to Jesus Christ. We become bonded as a congregation, and we can face anything. Worldwide, on this day, there are people taking communion. There are people taking communion that if people outside of the church knew they were taking communion, they could be put to death. There are people for whom the sacrifices are great to be a Christian. And they stand in their faith. They are there for one another. And they are making a difference in their world as Christ through us is making a difference in this world. We are the body of Christ. We are a worldwide communion under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who is our God, our Savior, our High Priest, and in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.